windy today.
Oh, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's go have a drink. Welcome to Brookings Cafe. There's just no telling who might be here today as we venture in to quench our thirst. We call it our Great American Debate. We come to the discussion in the spirit of fairness and an attempt to offer something conclusive. We don't claim to be experts, but we will strive to come to the table prepared to discuss our topic. We are going to extend invitations to those we think may offer an opposing point of view, and in some cases we may extend a challenge to specific people or groups to defend their point of view. Beware, we fact-check anything that sounds questionable, and we look dimly on mere opinions that aren't based in knowledge. We are trying to reach some sort of a resolution, something that both sides can settle on as an idea worth promoting. Today we are discussing the Azalea Park tree issue. Several months ago, the city of Brookings proposed to cut down 60 of the trees in Azalea Park, essentially clear-cutting all of the trees behind the band shell and all of the trees east of Kidtown. After a loud public outcry, the city hired an arborist from Portland who said that none of the trees were in any imminent need of removal and recommended only 6 to 9 trees be removed. But the catch is that to proceed in that direction, the cost will be about $24,000. But the city did not ask us, the citizens, how we felt about the issue. They did not ask if we, the citizens, thought that $24,000 was a good price to pay to save over 50 trees. The city of Brookings just did not ask us anything about the issue. So here we are today to discuss the issue at Brookings Cafe. First, I think we should put together a little bit of a summary of what the arborist said. So let's get opinions from around the table as far as what did you hear from the arborist? Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Dan, and
I'm Azam.
I'm Maria.
I'm Teresa.
I'm Shirley.
Dave is also here, but preoccupied with blackberry pie at the moment. He will speak later.
The things that I heard that night on the workshop, it was mostly how to maintain and keep the trees while there's a construction and things going on. And then the arborist report about that 60 tree to remove, that it came down to they are, in his report, he said, in the first glance, the park look very vigorous, very healthy, but in a close look, he find out, you know, some small issues, but mostly he said to maintain and prune and maybe move 8 trees. Specifically, when mayor asked how soon we have to remove this 8 trees, and he said is not imminent. So that means we have a time to look at it and see even if it's necessary to move that 8 tree, that it's going to cost the residents in Brookings over $20,000.
I would just add to that perspective in that the trees are very valuable. They cannot be replaced easily. It takes years and years and years. And what I came away from that workshop with was how damaging what we're doing to the trees currently is. The leftover 50 plus trees are not going to do well if we continue to have foot traffic. And he was pretty adamant about that all of the activity around the trees is a danger to them, and that the two groves that they were going to remove are more compromised than the others. They are delicate, but they also frame the park on one very substantial side. And I think that's why there was such an uproar when the original 60 trees were going to go. It's going to be significant. I think that they need a comprehensive plan on how they're going to take care of the ones that are left, and that no trees should be removed until they've really gotten a good comprehensive plan for the trees.
I've worked at enough construction sites in my younger days. I worked as a surveyor, One of the things that I do know is that if they bring in earth-moving equipment or even just these small bulldozer-type things, these bobcats that they move things around with on construction sites, when they run over the roots of existing trees that the architect often very purposely designed to leave intact for obvious reasons of that the trees are a neat amenity to any kind of a construction project that you're doing, but especially a residential area, these heavy pieces of equipment that were moving over these treed areas very often killed large numbers of the trees that were existing. And so after a few years, the trees just simply kind of dwindled away and they were gone. So yeah, that was something that he did point out, that that area under the trees needs to be fenced off. He recommended undergrowth under the trees because that's what produces good, healthy soil.
What construction are you talking about?
Residential construction is mostly what I worked with.
No, I'm saying in the park, you said the trees that would be affected by construction. Is there some construction that will happen in the park that will affect these trees? That's what I'm asking.
No, what's happening in the park is that there's enough foot traffic going in between the trees, more so than just the normal paths, and that's compacting the soil. Just people walking between the trees to get from the parking lot to the band shell. That's compacting the soil, and it's keeping the vegetation, the undergrowth, from growing there.
No, I understand that, but are they going to construct a caretaker's cottage on the property? Has any mention been made about that, removing trees? Did you have something about that?
You know, they built last year, they built, I think, the ballpark they're talking about. And I'm sure, you know, all those concrete didn't just walk over there. So heavy equipment came there. When that night we were at the meeting, Mr. French passed around a little booklet that the name of that booklet is Tree Protection. And when I read that booklet, it says specifically what to do to protect the roots of the tree, how far they have to protect it, and to keep the trees healthy. I have a question for city authorities. That did you guys take this precaution to keep the trees healthy and whatever? Maybe they didn't. Maybe just they built the parking lot, they built a ballpark, they did, you know, the sidewalk and whatever. But these are the things that having an effect on the trees. And the trees are not just gonna fall off the next day. It's gonna take time for it to show that they are affected and maybe build a mechanism or ability to overcome that shock that they receive. And I have no idea that, you know, how they did it and how long this is going on.
Yes, there has been some talk in the past about a caretaking situation where they would build a, well, like the snack shack has the bathroom in it,
mm-hmm.
another building there behind the band shell. And my mm-hmm. question is in reference to the idea that the trees behind the band shell might want to remove those so that they can construct that place, with the idea being that someone would be on the premises at all times, living there as a presence in the park. So that's something that maybe didn't ever come up, but it was
we did not hear about that.
All right.
I was up there Sunday for the concert, and I paid particular attention to the trees behind the bandstand and the fact that people were parking right up against the trees. There was no concern at this time about the compaction of the root system. But obviously, according to the booklet and according to the arborist, there should be a setback that's based on the height of the tree and the diameter of the tree. And the setback, by my calculations, was about 20 or 25 feet for these large Doug Furs. Now, the arborist report dealt with the health of the 60 trees, but the arborist did not address the issue of the azaleas. And the 60 trees, at least half of those trees, were being proposed to be removed in order to give the azaleas more light and better health. There's got to be some kind of compromise or some kind of thought, maybe to talk about a master plan is what's needed.
I have a comment to add on the azaleas. the meetings that happened last spring, it's my understanding that the azaleas and the shade of the trees for the azaleas was one of the reasons for the initial 60 trees. But through a lot of expert opinions and public comment at those city council meetings last spring, I think that the azaleas have a lot of other issues, and that is not a primary reason at this time. I think that the azaleas were one of several reasons that it was a good idea to take out the trees. It might help them, and a lot of people have said it would, it wouldn't. And right now, it's more about the trees than it is the azaleas, because the azaleas need some other help. The increased sun could hurt them in the short term. That's my understanding.
Public opinion does not equate to expert opinion.
No, I said both at the meetings. I know, public and expert opinion, but.
On the azaleas, I would just like to say wild azaleas grow in the forest, and the forest has a mixture of shade and sun, so I find that argument suspect. I'd also like to say that they brought up at the city council the other night, moved forward actually with a plan to pave the parking lots behind the Half Dome. Wasn't that correct? That's, I think, is what I heard. They were going to pave the parking lots that are now gravel.
The one that was up on the other street that's on the other side of Kidtown, just north of Kidtown. There's a street there that goes to one or maybe both of the ball fields. And I think that's the parking lot there where they're planning
okay.
to pave.
Not the gravel one behind. Okay, that's good.
Not at this time.
Yeah.
But it's a good point because they very well may decide to do it at a future point.
Yeah, I just would like to know, when we talk master plan, what are the future master plans for the park? What's an agenda? I mean, are people thinking they want to see a larger sports complex with more fields and things? And if that is the thinking, I could see where people would say, get the trees out of the way. And that concerns me. And as far as the cost, my husband also was in construction, bridge builder, actually. And on all the jobs that his company bid, the process was several bids were taken. And with the lowest bid, the company that got the job. I am perplexed why it is that we only have one bid on the proposed $24,000, and why aren't we taking several bids? There might be companies that would be willing to offset, not take so many trees, to offset their costs for taking down the 6 to 8 that need to be taken down. I think that that should be one of the first things that are explored. Other companies, what would they offer? What would the cost that they would remove the trees? What would that look like?
What are we using the park for? Now, I don't like disc golf. I'm absolutely not in favor of it. Mm-hmm. But enough people wanted it that that's what we have. And I have walked in the park when I've had to have people stop playing so that I could continue my walk. So to me, that's an ill-conceived sports program going on in the park. But evidently enough people pushed and got that through. And those baskets are attached to the fir trees. So my thought is if we want the park to have a specific usage, we need to step up and say, we're not kids, we're not playing soccer, we're not playing baseball. We don't have kids who do that. We have other ways that we want to utilize the park. Well, what are they? If you just want to look out at the trees and say, gee, aren't they nice? Well, absolutely, that's wonderful. But somebody has to take care of them. For a very long time, people thought pruning the azaleas would kill them. Well, it turns out just the opposite is true. But that was a long time in the coming. So now we can't get enough people to come out and do proper pruning and weeding and take care of them. So we're going to lose an awful lot of the native azaleas because they've been allowed to die out. So they have not been a priority. And I want to make one more point, and that is that the city doesn't have a large staff of people to take care of all of the individual parks. I think there are 5 or 6 parks in the community. Don't quote me, but you know, certain jobs get done for certain parts of the parks. And it seems like the part of Azalea Park that we are all talking about is a little bit low on the totem pole because it isn't a ballpark. It isn't a beach shack or whatever. So those of us who care about this have got to really say, what do we want? And why are we agitating for it? I agree with you that the lots of azaleas have thrived without having too much sun or too little sun. So it isn't just the ingredient of saying there's too much shadow on that particular group of azaleas. They're sitting in a bog that's a low level in that part. I'm visualizing it. Can you all see it? The part that we're talking about that's overshadowed by the fir trees. So there's not good drainage in there, for one thing. And they've been overcome by all kinds of briars, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a long-term neglect, really, because there aren't enough people to do what needs to get done. And it's not a high priority because it isn't getting used except for the holiday light show, which is fabulous. So we don't want that to go away.
I want to pick up on your priority that you said. I totally agree with you. I think the city's priority is not what Mr. Chrissy, the first person who took this, you know, acreage as a state park and, you know, kind of say to preserve it and whatever, to preserve the natural beauty. In my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel the city's priority is to make it like a little, like an amusement park. You know, a little ballpark here, you know, a little kid town there, little carousel there, and then picnic area here, and then with few small short trees around. They don't care, at least as I said, in my opinion. I can be totally wrong, but this is the way I perceive that they don't care about the natural beauty. They don't care that, you know, how long it takes for these trees to come to this height. According to that booklet that Mr. French handed to us, each $1.50 that they spend on a tree, it gives whoever is spending on $2.70. So they are not looking at these trees are kind of holding the soil together, and there is mudslide or clear wash and whatever. They are just looking at like a old days lumber time, that this is a lumber, it has no value. We chop it down and we plant a different tree, and in a few years it will be the same. I totally disagree with them.
Well, in my opinion, this portion that we're concerned with, where the trees are going to be cut or might not be cut, is the most important part of the park, because it does have the bandstand, where just last weekend we had 500 people from the community in there enjoying themselves. As previously mentioned, the Christmas show, that's really a big deal here. And since then, there's been, I think, the Oktoberfest. They do that every year. There's a lot of things that go on there. So it's very important that that area be kept nice and usable for the public. I've worked and lived in communities the size of Brookings or smaller. Without exception, they all had plans for their parks, master plans for the open space that the city or some other entity owned. And it seems to me that if they don't have one here, they need one for this.
And the master plan for the park, I believe, does exist. And it's a fairly long-range plan dated in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. And it does include the ball fields and a lot of improvements that way. And I am not against that. But what it didn't include, in my opinion, is preserving what we have and taking care of what we have. It was about adding new things. And I've only lived in Brookings a little over a year. And I remember a newspaper article months ago, before the tree issue ever came to my attention. It was interviewing Tony about the parks and the upkeep of them in the city. And he said, we have very limited funds.
Tony is Tony Barron, who is the Brookings City Parks and Rec Director.
The park system has grown. They've taken on, they've done these improvements to the parks, but they haven't increased the maintenance money. So I feel like the master plan needs to be revisited and add a maintenance feature to it to keep up what you have, because you can build a brand new house, but if you don't take care of it, in 10 years, it is going to need so much work and it's going to be worth so little compared to what you put into it. So I do think that there is lacking on the maintenance side in the long-range planning, and that's why with these trees and what we learned from the arborist as far as the compaction of the soil, that needs to be taken into consideration.
Well, I just want to add a couple of notes since I've lived here a lot longer. Kit Town was put together by parents. That was not a city project. It was a concerned citizens project. Now, it falls onto the job of the city to maintain it. The same thing happened with the Azalea Park Foundation acreage that was given to the foundation to create formal gardens with the intention, with the agreement, that it would be maintained by volunteers. Now, what's happened is we've lost volunteers. And what I see happening is a lot of interest, but you can't count on the city to come forward and do all the things that you'd like to have happen. Somebody, a couple people mentioned, why not adopt an azalea or two? It doesn't take very much time to go in and clear an azalea. The thing is, you have to have someone pick up the debris and take it wherever it's going to go so that it can be hauled away. So we did have a couple of cleanup days where people came in and cleaned up the azaleas. But what I'm saying is, if you're interested, there should be a bigger volunteer group of people. A lot of the people who originally were so interested in creating these beautiful formal gardens, et cetera, they got too old. They, you know, their back gave out, their knees gave out, they gave out. You know, a lot of those people died. And so, not because they worked too hard in the park. But it was a really dedicated group of people who had a vision, and they did it, and they made it happen. But years go by, and those people are no longer around, and there's nobody stepping up to the bat and saying, oh, my turn. I live in this community. Let me help. It is so hard to get people to come out on a weekend. There are other things to do. They, you know, most of us are retired, let's face it. And we need to have people who say, I care about it, and what can I do to help? Can I come on a Wednesday, for example, for 2 hours instead of on a Saturday for 3 hours? Can I in some way contribute as a volunteer? So my 2 cents worth is whatever we're talking about, we can't rely on the city to fulfill it all for us. They can only do what they can do. But the rest of it is up to the people in the community to say, I want to help. How can I help? Here's my plan. Here's my way of saying how I'd like to help. Because the city can then say, oh, good, we'll have a truck available. We'll have somebody come who can pick up debris and haul it away. Anyway, I'm running on, but that's my opinion, is that we're going to have to get more volunteers involved.
I agree with you. In my opinion, let's say I'm new in this town. We've been here for 30 months, and you are here.
16 months.
So in this town. So we need... city somehow take the initiative to kind of guide us, the interested people, where to go. When I came across of the issue of the trees and azalea, and on the first report that I got it was mid-May that they were preparing the park for the azalea festival. They talk about the trees are affecting the azalea. But when I went over there and I look at it, I said, these trees are not suffering from sun or shade. They are suffering from lack of nutrients, lack of care, because they were just buried in the berries and the fern and weed and everything. So people came, they did what they could do. As you said, maybe it's hard for me to go every Saturday, especially summertime, people are busy. I kind of suggested in two of the meetings that maybe we can put up, I know it's going to take time and it's going to take effort, and I'm willing to put that time and effort to do that, to help, to work with whoever wants to do it, that, you know, we can put it like adopt azalea. If I adopt this azalea, I come whenever I have a time, not weekend, and do it and be responsible, take all the weeds, put it in the site, in the bundle, then next day the maintenance person comes to pick it up and take it away. And guess what? No one, you know, show any interest. No one said nay or hey or whatever.
Actually, I would like to disagree with that, and here's the reason why. Organizations, like any entity, they have their heyday and then they fade away, unless they're really huge, like the Mother's March of Dimes Against Polio, which when polio was cured, they just simply transitioned to the Mother's March of Dimes Against Birth Defects. So the organization remained intact. But if you're talking smaller organizations like park maintenance, organizations like that, it's hard to keep those together. With this issue coming to the forefront now, a lot of people are interested. The fact that there were a whole lot of people who showed up for the public meetings, the petitions that were signed, whether if it was 600 or 300 or whatever number you would care to accept, that's a lot of interest in that park. And I think from that pool, really what it requires is just simply the organization to do it. And that requires somebody to spearhead that project. And I know that sitting in this room, there are some people who are interested in at least participating in that to some degree, if not necessarily going out and adopting an azalea, but it being part of the program. So I think the interest is there. It's just a matter of getting it all together, somebody, so to speak, to take charge. And you raised your hand, so I'll let you take charge.
No, I was just going to say, I just received an email this week that the Azalea Foundation is at risk of being closed off of their funding because they don't have an active board. They only have 2 members right now, and I think they need 6 more, is my understanding, to stay solvent, to be able to be funded the amount that they're given by the city for their foundation. Okay, well, that was my misunderstanding then.
I used to be the president.
Okay.
So talk to me. I know everything about it.
Okay, but at any rate, the foundation does need board members, and that would probably be a place where could be a good place to help.
That's a start.
Yes, well, start.
Let's jump in on that because I was the president for many years. The Azalea Park Foundation was created as a nonprofit to create the formal gardens. And the funding all came from donors and grants. The city doesn't give it a dime, and that was the agreement. The Azalea Park Foundation will take these 3 acres, we will create the formal gardens, and we will maintain them. There is currently, the reason that the Azalea Park Foundation is at risk is that they are not honoring their agreement with the city, which is to maintain the property which was given to their care. They do need a new board. There needs to be some fresh minds in there who care and really are concerned about it. All the money that the foundation has come from donors. They haven't been doing any fundraisers. So at any rate, not to make a long story out of this, but it is very important if you care about the formal gardens. This is all we're talking about now, the 3 acres with the friendship statue and those sidewalks that go around. That was all created where there was nothing there before except the natural trees, whatever it was. But all of those hundreds of rhododendrons and all of that, that was all created and planted by the Azalea Park Foundation. So please, if you are interested, get involved. I would hate, after all the years of putting in that effort, to see it all go completely haywire, which it almost is. So thank you for bringing it up. Put out the word.
One thing I've noticed, being a fairly newcomer to Brookings, is the population here. And it is a very transient population. People retire, they move here, they buy a house, they're still very active, but they might live here 6 months out of the year. Or they might be here full-time, but then their health goes down. Or they decide, oh, I love it here, but my kids are getting older and I want to move closer to them and the grandkids. So people come and go, and volunteer organizations they do wax and wane. And so we have an interesting population, and I think the trees have possibly really lit the fire under old residents and newer residents, and working with the city, we can have a great park for concerts, trees, and sports. But we all need to work together and be positive. And I hope that it does. I have good, positive feelings about it.
You know, this reminds me about what we've just gone through. In fact, when I think about those trees behind the Half Dome, I think of the concert we went to when the fire just blew up. And I was thinking how beautiful those trees were against the damage coming our way. But that aside, the reason I bring that up is there are very vibrant Facebook groups that have sprung up and really grown through this whole community crisis we've all lived through. And I'm just wondering if there is a Facebook group dedicated to Azalea Park. Because if there's not, those of us involved in social media, I could definitely see doing that, because what it does is it generates a lot of interest. And it's a place where people can post, hey, we need to have a cleanup day, or did you know that we need 6 more board members to keep the foundation alive? And so that's something that I think really should, and also back to our original conversation, back to Save the Trees. I mean, if you could take a Facebook group and show, look at all the comments this is generation. People really do care about this. They're offering these suggestions. It might be at least another avenue to pursue.
I'd like to throw out a question at this point, and it's basically, is this a matter of demographic? Is it that we now have younger demographics that are using the park versus the older demographics, which I would fit into, that don't necessarily use the park to play baseball or frisbee golf, but just like to sit and meditate or read a book or whatever in the park, for whom that atmosphere is important to them. Some of the speakers that were at the City Hall when the 60 trees were on the chopping block, it basically spoke to how nice it was to walk in the park and see the trees and see the azaleas and appreciate everything that the park had to offer. Of all of those speakers, all of them were my age, and I'm pushing 70, they tell me. Anyway, is it essentially that the kids are there and the young parents with kids who the trees don't mean anything to them, they would really much rather have a nice dugout for the ball field? Is it a war between generations?
I want to speak to that slightly, and that is to say the people who created, just, I don't mean to make this all about the Azalea Park Foundation, but the people who did that, who created that, were all older people. So they were the people with the vision, with the ability to see what needed to get done, with the expertise, the way to value the plants and to say what's going to look right, the design component, etc. But I think as an overall park, it is what it is. You go in and you say, I want to walk around and I just want to enjoy it and I want to enjoy those trees and I don't want them to go away. Well, what are you going to have to do to keep them from going away? Now, I know that at one point, Tony was putting forth a plan to the trees that were removed were going to be replaced with other things. And I had a conversation with him, and I said, now look, Tony, you can't just say we're going to replace them with other things. You have to be very specific. We're going to replace them with this type of a tree and this type of a tree and this kind of foliage, and you know, so, or maybe even submit pictures so people can see this is what it's going to look like without those fir trees but with this other planting. And you can't take down a lot of trees, which obviously happened, and then just let it all sit there without replacing it with anything, because all those fir trees that got removed on Lundin Lane and around the corner of the park, nothing ever happened. Because they didn't coordinate it at the same time to say, we're taking these down, but we're putting this in its place. So it kind of got discouraging. You know, you look at it and you go, gosh, if you take the trees down, that's what it's going to look like. No, not necessarily. If you bring some other things that will mature quickly and fill in and be beautiful, that would be fine. But just don't take it away and leave us with nothing. So I think there's some other kinds of things that can be talked about.
There was a comment at one of the meetings, excuse me, last spring or at the workshop, that there is money set aside for those trees that were taken out to have new trees planted for the future. And it was supposed to happen, and weather got in the way. And I think it's going to happen this fall, because fall's the time to plant trees, I've been told. I'm not an expert. And I have heard that mentioned recently. And so there is money set aside, and that is still in the works. It has been delayed.
On that note, also, I heard not a specific what kind of tree they're going to plant, but I heard in one of those meetings that they're going to plant trees that doesn't grow so high or so tall. But my kind of looking at this issue is, it's not just being in the park. When you coming to Brooking from Crescent City site, you come to the bridge, you see those beautiful, tall, green trees. It's just like a beautiful sight to see, to arriving into the city like that. Then I cannot imagine that they chop those trees and then it's going to just look like whatever they did before, you know, for lumbering and whatever, cutting the trees and even putting different type of trees and whatever. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. I remember the first time when I came to Oregon around Portland area, I was mesmerized by enormous tall trees. And I thought only redwood can be like that. Redwood can be that majestic, that beautiful. And then I find out, no, Douglas fir, it's beautiful, majestic. So I really, I want to say, I feel like I have an attachment to this type of trees, because I lived in Southern California. All you see, it's the road and the car and the building. Do we want to make it here like that too?
I think that a lot of people feel that same attachment to these majestic trees. And that's why there was such a public outcry. The city saw that the trees were needing a lot of work, and it made sense to them from a financial standpoint. And I don't fault them on the information they had back when that decision was made. But now the public spoke, and there's a lot of people that are very passionate about the trees. And it's not that we're just all tree huggers that want to save any tree no matter what. Sometimes they have to go. The six to nine that are slated to be removed for the health of all the trees and the park, that sounds reasonable. And so I think we're on the right track. I don't want this to be an us and them. I want to work with the city and provide positive public comments and help them and get involved and have more people get involved.
That's true. First of all, I have to say I'm the tree hugger and I like all kinds of trees. Anything with green and shade, I love them. So that's on that part. And then another part, I applaud them for when they heard the outcry for the trees, they hired someone to come here. They didn't just push the report or whatever they had before that, no, this is the things we find out and we're going to go on with that. So I really admire and applaud that they took time and they brought new experts, and we saw it changed. The previous one, whoever was it, and whenever they did it, it wasn't accurate.
I'd like to point out that the $24,000, which of course was not really a bid, it was just an estimate, but the idea was to remove the trees that were potentially dangerous, that were going to fall down because of certain circumstances, or the pruning and maintenance of some of the 60 trees that were not going to be removed, but it was felt that they had limbs or other things, other problems that would be alleviated by using that money. So, you know, if the trees are going to remain, or the bulk of them are going to remain, there is going to be money involved.
So let's take a step back and take a deep breath and get more bids and develop a plan that really looks at the whole picture. How can we get the 6 to 9 trees removed at a cost that's doable? What will be the plan for the rest of the trees moving forward that's doable? What can we do as a community to shore up Azalea Park with volunteers? But take a step back. This doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
And that is, I think, the major point. And one of the things that I think of when I think in terms of the $24,000 is that, okay, that's what the arborist basically said was his estimate of what it would take to prune up whatever trees need to be pruned, to remove the 6 to 9 that need to be removed, to essentially do all the work that needs to be done there. But he, as he pointed out, none of it's imminent. Mm-hmm. None of the trees that he's talking about are falling over next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we need to cough up $24,000 today. The first thought that came to my mind was that the city manager had stated that the flower baskets along Chetco mm-hmm. Avenue, he told, at that time he said it was 8,000, and now I think it's more like 5,000. But nonetheless, if we took $5,000 a year and essentially swap the baskets for the trees, just take a vote and see what's more important amongst the city, the citizens. What's more important, to have trees in the park or to have the baskets on 101? That's a possible source of some of the money. And so $24,000 spread out over, let's say, 3 years is $8,000 a year. So, okay, we spread it out over 4 years, and the flower baskets alone will pay for that.
I have a problem with taking away flower baskets for two reasons. First of all, there's lots of people that like the flower baskets as much as they like the trees.
And I do.
And the other part is that a lot of the improvements that have been done to the park have been grants matched with city money to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars in the park improvements. If we can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on park improvements for ball fields, paving parking lots, I have no problem with all that. But we can come up with more money to maintain what we have mm-hmm. and to protect those trees long term, get the compaction issue under control with the foot traffic. We don't need to take money from the flowers on Main Street. Well, Chetco Avenue, I call it Main Street. When we're spending hundreds of thousands in our city money to match grant money, maybe there's a grant for taking care of the park. But we can, I think the park should have more money, and I think let's talk about the money that's spent on the park.
I have great faith that the city, and through whatever organization or organizations, could come up with the money. And my fear is that rather than sitting down and discussing this with the public, the city is just simply trying to push through a plan. And some of the city councilors basically said they're so tired of this, they're going to take the chainsaw themselves. And no, they didn't say that, but you get the point. That's the attitude that I see that's being exhibited to mm-hmm, me, is that mm-hmm. they're tired of this. They want to see it go away. Mm-hmm. And if they could push through something that allowed them to do a quick, easy fix, of which just clear-cutting the trees, that was. It was a financial wash, so they didn't have to come up with the money or anything, and then it was over and done with. But to maintain the parks is a different deal. You have to, like you say, they're short of necessary help. Where did they get the money? I don't know. But I am confident that the money's there. I just don't want somebody to make a rash decision and fire up a chainsaw when the solution, a compromise, is there, and that it will hear the voice of the citizens. And to me, that's what the city council should be about. Is mm-hmm. what is it that us, the citizens, want? And they should respect that.
You know, over the years, whenever we've had some sort of a crisis, a family needed help, someone became ill, this community eagerly comes forward and supports people. There's such a giving attitude in this town. And, you know, when you go and sit in the park and you're enjoying the heck out of the music and the trees, and it's so beautiful, and you just can't picture that frame mm-hmm. of those trees gone. But that group of people who bring the music to the park, and yes, it's a short season and it doesn't last all year long, but they pass a little bucket around mm-hmm. for everybody, and people are just happy to give money. And they like the music, they like the whole atmosphere, and so they stick $5 in the bucket or a dollar, whatever it is. Nobody's going around and saying to people, you mm-hmm. love this park? Give us some money. Let's have a fundraiser. Why can't we use the band shell and get our local people together and charge them admission, for Pete's sake? You know, it's a fundraiser. Save the trees. Here's some money. Let's get it together. You know, people are eager to give to something they feel strongly about, and they won't if you don't ask them. pretty much. So my two cents worth is find a way to get people to give. Make it a situation that's important enough that people will say, sure, I'll give you $5, I'll give you $10, I'll give you $100, whatever, you know?
I just had a light bulb idea with that. The city built the ballparks and is still improving on them through grant money and matching money from the city. So the trees and the maintenance of the flower beds and all of the gardens, if we had fundraisers, but the city promised to match in some percentage whatever money we could raise, and that money could be earmarked for that if they don't really have the money. I think the money is there. It is priorities. But I also think that if the community gets involved and they have a stake in it, they're going to be, it's just going to be better all around. And everyone will have, you know, worked hard for this park, and we'll make sure that it continues. And I think the idea of adopting azaleas, it's kind of like adopting a highway, because they require so much care that having our Parks and Recs people do that is not, that's just not real practical. So it happens all the time. Adopt a highway and clean it up. Have school organizations, church organizations, civic organizations, families could adopt a park. Big family, make that a family outing every few weeks.
Make a memorial for loved ones.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And you know what? One thing when you two ladies talking, it came to my mind that I never heard Save the Trees. The city's, in my opinion, goal and drive is get rid of them. Plant this small one that maybe doesn't need maintenance. Maybe these are the things that you talked about it, Cheryl. It's like asking people to do it. You know, people may do it, like you said, with the Facebook generating and informing people, gathering people, like-minded people together, and have a fundraising, have an event there that to raise money to take care of it, not to just take another burden off of the city's shoulder, because that is city's responsibility to do it. But if they cannot do it, we can help. I don't want to take away the responsibility and kind of outsources to the public, and then when public either die or move away and say, okay, there's no one to do it.
I like this idea of a memorial for loved ones, and it is in a sense already that, in that it is a memorial to Elmore Williams. There, that's, to me, that's part of what's beautiful about that park, is that it is a memorial to not just Elmo, but the city itself. And the whole atmosphere of the park just kind of carries that kind of an atmosphere. But we were talking about finding money, I think. I like the ideas that are being tossed around, and I kind of go back to my previous point, which is that I think that we're on the verge of finding something, an organization, if you will, that's going to come to the, be born out of all of this and essentially, hopefully, come in and save the day.
I just had my little light bulb moment. The city joined hands with the people who put on the light show every year, and it is spectacular. It gets better every year. And those of you who've worked in that, you know how much work it is. And it's usually storming like crazy while you're putting up the lights or taking them down. And so you really have to be dedicated. And a lot of people, you know, contribute. And there's a sign that says, you know, their name or their company name or whatever, which I'm not sure I absolutely love that. But at any rate, people do participate. And it's just a short-term thing. But it's spectacular. So people come along and they pay a dollar. And the kids don't pay anything. And they still make a lot of money. And it's enough money to keep supporting that organization and the work that they do, and to trade out all the lights and to build even more wonderful sculptures, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know why organizations can't join hands and say, if you're coming through the light show and you're willing to give a dollar, will you also give a dollar for this other thing, for the general maintenance of the park? I'm just throwing out an idea of one way where you already have lots of people coming through the park anyway. They're coming for the light show. But I wonder how many of them would respond if there was also a bucket there that said to for maintenance of the azaleas of the park or whatever, because trust me on this, when you come in and do all this work and hang all those lights and do all of that stuff, you knock a limb off here and there, you know, you break things. The maintenance of the area itself needs somebody to come along behind it and sort of make it all tidy again. So that's just one idea. If you can think of any other to latch onto, yes.
Well, at a recent meeting I was at, one of my friends brought up the idea, why not ask the community to adopt a tree? Different groups to adopt a tree, and the cost has been anywhere between $100 to $400 a tree for those 60 trees in danger. And I was thinking of two groups right off the top that give away to charities on a regular basis, and I was thinking, I'd be happy to propose to them, would you adopt a tree? That would be two trees. And then I think of all the wonderful work that Chetco Brewery does and different businesses and towns do when we have fundraisers or different vendor events, asking the different vendors that show up at the port every week, would you adopt a tree? Your name could be highlighted. You could get good publicity for this. It would be good for our community. So I think that there are several different ways, again, I'm going to push again, that we could take a step back and look at this again and maybe ask the city, you know, to cut the cost even, ask the city, would you match us dollar for dollar? If we were able to raise $12,000, would you match us $12,000 so that we had the $24,000?
I'm a member of the Brookings Harbor Lions Club, and a number of you may know that just recently we adopted little pocket park downtown. Mm-hmm. A number of thousands of dollars were spent in fixing that thing up to the point that it is now. And I'm not saying that I can promise that they'd do something here, but it can certainly be brought up.
I want to throw out some numbers. I said hundreds of thousands of dollars on the grants and the big projects that have been at the park. It's always nicer when you hear the real numbers. The grant that this work is going to take place between 2017 and 2020. $418,000 is what we're getting from the grant. The city is paying $285,000. So the city is contributing $285,000. This work is going to the ball fields and the area around it to improve it with lighting. I saw one picture that had a scoreboard. I think that's all great. They're going to be able to have evening events there. That's a total of a $703,000 grant. Now, in 2015, there was also a grant for $212,000. And then there was another grant in 2017 that was $166,000. So hundreds of thousands of dollars have been put into Azalea Park, but mainly for the ball fields, and that's fine. I do not want to be negative against the ball fields, but we are talking about $28,000, $24,000 for trees. So let's put this in perspective, and we have a lot of community support and people that want to get involved and help.
Are you saying that the city is getting the grants?
Yes.
Okay, so it's coming through the city, not some individual group outside of the city.
That is my understanding. Someone mentioned that they need more help, so Tony could be in the office writing grants, and I would not be surprised that he's good at that, but I don't know for sure. But the city got these grants, however they happened, they received them. And that's a lot of money. $418,000, $212,000, $166,000. That's just the free money. But then the city's contributing about 40% of that themselves to these projects. They're matching grants.
But you said all these grants are to make something else, to build something else, to bring more traffic, to have more need for parking lot. Where are they going to get that land? By chopping the trees and making it parking lot?
Does anyone remember from your childhood, make new friends but keep the old? Some are silver and some are gold.
Yes.
Well, we need to take care of what we have too. And the trees have a lot of value.
But I see it with the grant and whatever that they are getting. Seems like I wasn't so far off that they are creating just, in my opinion, like amusement park with little short tree here, there, and whatever, and the parking lot, and, you know, just changing the whole look of the area.
What I would like to say essentially is that what I see is a real lack of sensitivity on the part of the city council. I feel like the citizens are being regarded as the opposition. I can understand where that comes from. You know, you as a city official, you feel like you're trying to do the right thing. And given the information that you have, you make a decision based on that. And then if another point of view comes along, and like in this case, it being not a financial burden to suddenly being $24,000, and the city kind of looks at it from the standpoint of, well, do we have all of the money to do that? And so they act according to what they perceive as being the responsible way to do it in terms of, well, what do we have in terms of money and what are the needs and so on. But there was enough public outcry over the cutting of the 60 trees to begin with. And that should have essentially said to the city council, hey, the citizens want to be involved in this. It, rather than saying, oh, okay, and opening their arms and saying welcome to the discussion, they essentially have taken an opposition point of view. The city has taken a big step by bringing in the arborist. I thought that was great. And what I didn't see was somebody at City Hall, after the arborist had spoke, say, well, what do you guys think? And allow us, the citizens, a chance to input on the new information.
I would like to expand on that. What we didn't talk about during this hour is there was a public workshop on this, but what it consisted of was the arborist giving his report and answering questions from the public. But after that, the city council spoke, and I even spoke up and asked, can we not still comment? Our comments were basically not asked for or wanted at that point. I don't know if it was a time issue. We were allowed to ask the arborist questions, but we weren't allowed to really give our input after the fact when we had all the information. And then we're like, okay, now I see the big picture. I would like to offer my thoughts on this. The workshop, I appreciate the fact that they had it. They invited us. It was, I think, over 2 hours, but it did need more public involvement.
To maintain, to protect, and save the trees. I don't want to see those trees, you know, just go away and make a parking lot. I'd be glad and happy to help and to be involved in any way.
Let's take a step back and look at our options. I can see why councilmen would say, I'm done with this. This is tiresome. I want to move on. But those trees have been here longer than them and longer than any of us. And so they deserve the respect to be given a full hearing, if you will, to look at all our options to save those trees.
I think it takes people who say, this is how I feel about it, and here's the action I'd like to take. I'm not here in favor of or against anything that's already been talked about or anything the city might be wanting to do. If the city is still open to input, then those people who really care have got to say, here's our plan. Here's what we would like. We can't just complain. Mm-hmm. We have to say, this is how we see it. This is what we'd like to do about it. Mm-hmm. The only way it gets done is for enough people to say, I'm going to put my elbow grease into this. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm willing to do it.
And thank you, the listener, for joining us as we have hashed this topic around quite a bit, and we may do it again.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.